Well, good morning, church family. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Pastor Josh is away today, so the fourth string quarterback is here. It always amazes me the difference between there and here. My mouth is dry. It's about 120 up here. My knees are shaking. I'm ready to preach. Amen. I want to thank those that have prayed for me this week, and I have felt your prayers. It always amazes me more when we come to the house of God to worship. Hear me, church, to worship, that the Spirit of the living God has promised he would meet with us, those who have gathered in his name. Amen? The Spirit of God is here this morning. And the blessing of that, the gospel is all about healing. Healing of the soul, healing of the mind, and healing of the body. Amen? And Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is here today as we've lifted up his name and as we have come to hear his word. He is here to stand beside me, but he's also here to sit beside you, because every one of us has needs. Amen? We're human. And he knows our needs. And so this morning, I want to ask you to open up your hearts to the Spirit of the living God and allow him to speak personally to you. Because when you hear the voice of God and when you obey the voice of God, you can leave here forever changed. Amen? That's what worship does. Worship changes us. And so with joy, I stand here wanting to lift up Jesus. I'd ask you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to the first book of Peter. First book of Peter, I want to read opening verses, and I would like you to stand in honor of this Almighty God who is here in our midst. I want to stand and give him reverence this morning and ask that he would come into this service in a dynamic way and speak directly into our hearts. I want to read verse 22 through 25 and then have prayer. Read with me, church. 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye have love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Heavenly Father, we stand in honor and reverence to your sacred word today. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that your Spirit would flood into this service. Thank you for the promise where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in the midst. And God, we look forward to hearing from you this morning. We thank you that you are alive. We thank you that you have a word for us this morning. And we thank you that you will touch us when we humble ourselves before you. Lord, give the increase is my prayer. Give the increase. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Peter, one of the chosen apostles, had the honor of walking with Jesus Christ for 3 years in person. He records this book, and I want you to have your Bibles open today. We're going to look at many scriptures, but I want to go back and read through this entire chapter because I've titled, Ask the Lord What to Speak On and What to Name This, and the title of this message, sermon, burden, whatever you want to call it, is the bottom line. The bottom line. And Peter, in this one chapter, kind of summarizes the whole scope of a Christian. Before we were Christians, after we're Christians. And I want to read through this and then build upon this passage to get to the end of the service, the bottom line. So read with me again in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, I like that word, we're going to talk about that, mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom ye have not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of the faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves accordingly to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. What a chapter. Wow. There's a bottom line in this chapter. The bottom line. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Amen. We are like grass, and we wither away. Amen. Notice in verse 14 there, as obedient children, as believers, as born again Christ followers, we are to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and the Bible, which is the Word of God. Amen. Help me today, church. Help me. Notice verse 17. There's a two-letter word there, if. If is conditional. If you call upon the Father. This is Father God. If you call upon the Father Romans records this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Question for you. Have you called upon his name? Have you called upon his name? Notice verse 23. Being born again. Are you born again? Do you know that you know that you are born again? Everyone knows. Amen. Everyone knows their physical birthday. Amen. Is there anyone here that would be honest and say, I do not know the day I was born physically? We know it. When we become born again, born of the Spirit, born of God, we know when we got born again. We know the place, we know the time, we know the date. We know when we called upon the name of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't forget it. And share that spiritual birthday every chance you can. Amen? Because it's glorious. Are you thankful that you're born again? I want to share a memory as we continue with the bottom line. When I was in the youth group, the Bars Mill youth group, this was like 45 years ago. And how many times, Brother and Sister Weber, I thank you for your leadership as youth leaders. But I want to take you back. Maybe you remember this, maybe you don't. But when I was a teenager, I'm thinking 18, 19, somewhere in there, went to a Ohio youth convention at the convention center in Columbus, Ohio. I don't know if you was there, brother. I don't know if anybody here was there, but if you do, help me. So we get to the youth convention, and this was a special one because it was an overnighter. We were going to stay at a hotel, which had elevators. Okay? So, did the Friday night, and I think there was some music there, and then Saturday morning we get into the auditorium. There was approximately 500 kids there that day, and Brother Horace Shepherd Sr. was the speaker. And I had heard Brother Shepherd speak at camp meeting, and wonderful man of God. He has since passed on to his reward, but he stood about this high. Okay? Robust man, full of life. He was the speaker, and so he gets up to speak, and he says, you can imagine the sound of 500 young people together, and he stands up, and he didn't have their attention, didn't have our attention. And so he said, hey, young people, I'm here to talk to you today. And he stepped aside and he said, how many of you rode an elevator today or yesterday in your room to get to? Now everybody's hand went up, and he said, so if I put a title on this message, it'd be called The Elevator. And he said, we're going up, we're going down. And he said, to go down, you don't have to do anything with the gospel of Jesus Christ and you will burn in hell. And the room was silent. But he said, if you want to know how to go up to heaven, listen to me, kids, young people, I'm going to tell you. You must be born again. You must be. I've thought about that message over the last 45 years, what an impact it had. Brother Shepherd cut to the bottom line. All of us here, we're either going to live in heaven or hell. Amen? That's what the gospel addresses. This is serious. Nobody gets a freebie, a mulligan, a pass. We're going up, we're going down. And so this idea of the bottom line, I want to build on this a little bit, because I hope that you're dialed in to the Spirit of God. Because He's here, church. He's here. He knows what's going on in your soul, in our minds, in our bodies. He's here. Amen? Do you believe it? Are you listening? Amen. When I was in the third grade, probably that age, if you all remember, if you've been in the third grade, we got report cards. And I don't know how the grading system is now, but when I went to school, we got O's for outstanding, S for satisfactory, and N, not satisfactory. There wasn't grades. And so, you know, there was always a fear in me to do my best, but the last report card of the year always had something different than the other report cards. Because you see, at the bottom of the line on the back page was if you pass to the next grade. Amen. I wanted to pass. I didn't care what the grade said. I went to the bottom line. Did I pass to the fourth grade? Another memory I can remember as a child was going to the mailbox. There were certain times of the year that there was letters in the mailbox with my name on it. And I figured out the bottom line that if my name was on the letter, it was a birthday card and it normally had money in it. The bottom line. I wanted to see my name on letters in the mailbox. Buying my first car, I remember going shopping and I looked at the price of the car. Thought, well, that's in my price range. But then I sat down to talk with the salesman and he added dealer prep, tax and title, and then got to the bottom line, the final cost. Are you with me? The bottom line, what does it cost me? I remember early on, I got a letter from Tom Hampshire. And before I had money coming. But this letter was different. It said, you owe this amount for your car insurance and add a $4 service fee to get the grand total, the bottom line. The bottom line. And then there was this one letter I got from somebody called Iris. And I looked at that letter and I said, well, who would name their kid Iris? And so I opened it up and I realized, well, that's from the government. That's from the Internal Revenue Service, and I owe this much tax to the government. The bottom line, I wasn't getting any money. I had to pay money. You ever had one of the letters from IRS? IRS. Well, you get my point. The bottom line. I began to learn what it cost to become an adult and what the value of needing something and deciding if I could afford it. The bottom line is eye-opening. Responsibilities everywhere we look. A little grasped into this bottom line saying, just tell me the bottom line. Amen. Well, the Word of God does tell us the bottom line. Jesus never avoided the bottom line. One of the beautiful stories in the Bible, I'm going to take you to a man who is a hero of our faith. And his name is Job. Job. In Job 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. This man, Job, he is the perfect role model for mankind. He had it all, and his heart was right before the Lord. The Lord even bragged on him. The Lord bragged on Job to Satan. Have you seen my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and despised evil. And in that conversation, Satan said, yeah, you got a hedge around him. You got him protected. Right? God allowed Satan. This is always an incredible thing to remember, that Satan couldn't touch Job unless God gave him permission. And God knew Job's heart, and God knew that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of believers were going to see the example of Job in the future. And so God allowed Satan to crush Job. His world was destroyed. In one day, I read this once and I counted, in 90 seconds, if you read this, the first chapter in Job, what happened right after another, in 90 seconds, Job's oxen was stolen, his servants were killed, fire burned up all his sheep, his camels were stolen, 10 children were killed by a tornado, and then God allowed Satan to try him again, and Satan smote him with boils covering his entire body. I've had one boil in my life. I'm telling you what, that was so painful. I can't imagine being covered in boils and your heart crushed You're crushed. Your emotions are crushed. He falls down. Job falls down in shock and is sitting in a pile of ashes, mourning and sorrow upon sorrow. And in the state of this despair, with death all around him, he asks this question. In Job 14:14, he asks this question. If a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. If a man die. But wait a minute. If a man die, would it be more accurate to say when a man dies? Will he live again? Here is the bottom line about life and death. When Job was in the lowest point of his life, Job wanted to know the bottom line. And in that wanting to know the bottom line, God was there. Amen? When we want to know the bottom line about God, when we want to know the bottom line about issues we have with God, when we want to know what Scripture, the bottom line is God is there and He will help us and teach us when we humble ourselves and ask Him, when we call upon His name and say, Lord, please help me. Anybody ever been there? Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you with me this morning? Amen. This is the God, the living God, the bottom line. This is sober and serious, but truthful. Ignoring death won't make it go away. Right? Doesn't make it go away. Not agreeing with what God says in His Word doesn't change what He's declared. Amen? So let me walk you through. Let's walk through some what the bottom line in Scripture. David recorded this. And this includes all of us in Psalms 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We were born, we are all born with the seed of sin inside of us. Romans 3:20 tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of life. The bottom line is everyone from Adam and Eve has a sin issue. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I learned something, church, on this verse. It says, the wages of sin is death. The death is physical. Every one of us are going to die physically because of our sin. Amen? That's the wages of sin. God's judgment passed upon Adam and Eve, and we have been born into sin, and we will pay the price of sin. The wages of sin is physical death. But there's hope coming. In Hebrews, in Hebrews 9:27, Paul records this. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die. And Paul recorded in Corinthians this passage. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The bottom line is, church, we have an appointment with God Almighty. Amen? It's already been established. It's appointed. God knows that date, and he's telling us by his mercy and grace, be ready for that day. Amen? Be ready, because that day is coming. Nobody escapes. No one escapes the judgment of God. In Revelations, the bottom line, God tells us, John records this, and pay attention, church, because after this verse, it's going to get better. The bottom line gets better, but you got to know the seriousness of what's coming. Be informed. Don't let the enemy trick you that this walk of Christianity is just a casual thing. It's life and death, church. In Revelations, John records this, chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great throne, a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this is the gospel truth, church. The books that were opened. There are 66 books to the Word of God, which is endures forever. Amen? It's forever settled in heaven. Amen? And in these 66 books, God has sent down to us instructions to obey and live by. Could I be so bold to tell you, because I love you, it's not an option with God to read his word. He expects it. He sent his son to die. Do you think he says, it's just optional? It's not a big deal. I don't think so, church. My convictions are, if we have a Bible, when we stand before God, He has every right to say, why didn't you read it? Why didn't you study it? Why didn't you know the truth? I had strength, I had power, I had promises. It was all there for you. Why didn't you listen to my Holy Spirit? My Holy Spirit is the teacher. Amen? He's going to teach you everything you need to know. And church, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't understand everything in the Bible. And when I read something, I say, Father God, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me understand this. So he says, keep digging, keep reading, keep trusting, keep searching. And in my time, I will reveal to you what you're longing to know. Amen? And that's called our works. We're working not for our salvation, but we're working to find out the truth. Amen? The bottom line on this earth, church, it's temporary. There was not an amen. Anybody here going to live here forever? Everything you see in this building, temporary. It's temporary. Can you grasp that? When you go out into your car today, it's temporary. You go to your home, it's temporary. What am I talking about? We need to focus on the eternal, church. The eternal is what the bottom line is all about. Each day we live, we are one day closer to physical death. Anybody agree? Are you with me, church? I'm here with you. This isn't easy for me, church, but I love you. I love you. I want to see you make it into heaven. Thinking about this can be overwhelming by the human mind. We cannot fix our sin problem, our death problem. So hear, church, listen. Hear the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I am from above. I came in my Father's name. I am the great I am. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior of the world. I am the great physician. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. I am eternal life. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The words of Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, in a very familiar passage, said this to a very educated man. That man came at night because he didn't want his peers to see him. Peer pressure. But something was going on in Nicodemus' heart. I want to know. I want to know what you're talking about. And this is what Jesus said to him. Please, church, listen. John 3:5-7. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." That's the words of God Almighty, given to Jesus Christ, who came and lived and died and resurrected, and His words He gives to the Holy Spirit that is with us to this day and is with us right now. Church, you must be born again. Amen? Can't get any clearer than that. So here's the bottom line. Mercy. God rejoices in mercy over judgment. Do you believe that? He rejoices in mercy. This mercy is found all through Scripture. But listen to what the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah recorded in Lamentations. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." Church, are you seeking the Lord? And you might say, "Well, I'm born again." But you still need to seek the Lord. Amen. He said, "Seek me and you'll find me, saith the Lord." Amen. The mercy. God rejoices in mercy. He doesn't want to see anyone go to hell. And the bottom line is, He doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose it. Amen? It's a choice. I'm going to live life my way. I don't believe that Jesus stuff, that gospel stuff. I'm going to live my way. And my way leads to hell. The bottom line. And God knows that. And He sends mercy to us because He wants us, all of us, to live with Him in heaven. I want to read to you in closing. A story about mercy. Because Jesus preached, we must repent. We must have godly sorrow for our sins, a contrite heart, a broken heart, broken by sins, and we must confess to Him that we need Him and cry out to Him and call to Him to rescue us out of our sins. Amen? When He sees a humbled, honest heart cry out for mercy, He will extend His grace to us, which is called salvation. Amen? God knows if we are truly repentant. God Himself records our spiritual birth by writing our names in His book of life. Question, have you been born again? When Jesus was on the earth, people thronged Him everywhere He went. And one day, He came to a village. And I want to read this because this church, I hope you can see the mercy of God. The mercy of God. I'm going to read Mark chapter 10, verse 46. This account. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. Can you picture this church? A blind man begging. I thought, what if we could identify with Bartimaeus today? And if you would close your eyes right now, and you had never seen before, this is your condition, you're blind, you have no sight, and I'm wondering how thankful we are for our physical sight, but this man could not see. And when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. "Bartimaeus, shut up! Bartimaeus, what are you doing?" And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Never seen before, he's blind. He cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me! Have mercy, Jesus! Jesus, have mercy on me! Jesus, have mercy on me!" Bartimaeus cried out in desperation. He didn't care what others thought. And listen to this powerful next verse. And Jesus stood still. He stood still. God heard the cry of mercy from blind Bartimaeus, and he stood still. Is that still true today? Amen. Amen. God doesn't change, church. And he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Wow. The mercy of God. I've always seen physically, but I don't know how it would be like to live day after day after day after day without seeing. Maybe sometime today, church, we could offer up a praise to God. "Thank you for my eyesight." Amen. Are you thankful that you can see? But now look, let's learn from Bartimaeus. This man was desperate. He was desperate. He knew that Jesus could heal. And he wasn't going to let somebody say, hush, shush, quiet, you're bothering Jesus. He cried out for mercy. And God stood still. And church, this is the experience about becoming born again. You have to have a desperation in your soul. I'm lost. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to hell if I don't repent. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Amen? Do you have that desperation? Because if you do, that's when God stands still and the healing comes from the great I Am, the great physician. The mercy of God. When was the last time that you thanked God for His mercy over your life? Sometimes we get so busy, things are going so well, we live in America, and it's because of His mercy. Amen? We could have been born any place in the world, and it was because of God's mercy we were born here. But don't you think that God the Father enjoys a compliment from His children? God, thank you for saving my soul. God, thank you for your mercy over me. God, thank you for the prayers you've answered. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for my family. Thank you, God. I love you and I want to follow you, but God, I just thank you for your mercy. We're going to come to a close. And maybe this morning God has revealed to you that we're not thankful enough for His mercy. We're going to have a closing worship song just to say thank you to God for His mercy. And maybe you're here this morning and you know in your heart, the Spirit of God has witnessed to your heart, you know you are not born again. There's good news. Jesus is here. He's here to heal your soul. Amen. You come this morning and He'll heal you. He'll wash you white as snow. Maybe you're here this morning and something in your mind, you know it's not as sharp as it should be. There's a battle going on. There's an oppression hammering you, hitting you. Guess what? The great physician is here. He's here to heal your mind. If you cry out to Him, Lord, please heal my mind. Heal my emotions. If you're here with a body ailment and you know that your body needs help, the great physician is here. Amen. Lord, have mercy on me is all it takes, and He will walk with you to an altar, to a point of confession or a point of rejoicing. I need to bless a sister before we close. Sister Shirley, I want to bless you because one service a while back, you had a need and you came, couldn't bend your knee that way, but you sat right here and you bent your knee and asked God Help me. Thank you, sister. You witnessed to us. If you're not physically able to bend your knee, you can sit, you can sit, you can stand. There's a cross to stand. But how thankful are we, the mercy of God? Now listen to this next thought. Does anybody in your family need mercy? Do you have any unsaved loved ones? Children and grandchildren, neighbors that needs mercy? What would God do if he seen us crying out, Lord, have mercy on my children, they're lost. I don't care what people think about me, my children are lost. Our nation is in trouble, church. We need a divine intervention of God. You know what that is? It's mercy. Our nation needs mercy. What would happen if born-again Christians all over America would every day fall on their knees and say, Lord, help us. Help us. Or are we too busy doing other things? I want to ask if you would stand. And I'd like to end the service in a little different way. I've got a worship song, a video that has words. And this song, it says, His life for mine. In reality, God died. Jesus died. He gave his life for me. He gave his life for you. And as the Spirit of God moves you, I would ask that you just worship him. Just worship him. Whatever, however the Spirit moves you, just worship him. And after the song is played, we'll have a prayer benediction. So, Brother Ryan, could you play that for us now?
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save. Scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy. to say.